podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
While many of us were first introduced to the concept of artificial intelligence through science fiction, AI has certainly become a fact of modern life. This is increasingly true in healthcare and the life sciences, where, according to one estimate, more than 75 different startup companies are using artificial intelligence to inform drug discovery. AI has now become a hot topic in drug discovery and drug development, but many questions remain unanswered as to its applicability and potential impact. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. My guest today is Detlef Holt, who is Global Strategy Lead, Knowledge Cycling at Genentech. Mr. Holt participated in the panel discussion titled Exploring Use of Artificial Intelligence, Trust in Technology or Trust in Each Other, at our DIA Europe 2018 annual gathering in April. He joins me today to discuss the progress and promise of artificial intelligence in healthcare product development. Thank you for your time today, Mr. Holt, and welcome.
Thank you.
Let's begin with your job title, if I may. What do you do as Global Strategy Lead for Knowledge Cycling at Genentech?
Let me quickly elaborate on the idea of knowledge cycling. I am very happy about the fact that we did choose cycling and not knowledge management, because I do believe there has been an evolution of knowledge management over the last 35 years, 40 years maybe even. I think it moved really away from being heavily driven by technology only as an enabler towards a much more eclectic view on the best way to leverage and capitalize on the huge amount of knowledge people generate in organizations. There is the social collaboration component, there is the change management component, certainly also technology with taxonomies and search functionalities as enabler. But then there's also psychological aspects of understanding cognition and how you can best leverage technologies and people to have the best collaborative problem-solving approaches towards situations. So knowledge cycling as such is a very eclectic field, and my role is to support a transformation effort around submission teams in drug development. What we try to do is basically change the way we approach filings, submissions, and the process. And the support of the process enhancement consists in knowledge cycling through three different pillars. The first one is really to help people leverage the lessons learned. And while lessons learned have been around for a long time, I think the key here is really to understand how you best capture, organize, and then disseminate knowledge people generate, the tacit knowledge teams generate in their processes. So my job is to figure out how to leverage lessons learned for reuse, but also the practices teams generate as part of their tacit knowledge every day. And the second pillar then is sometimes you take this knowledge flow the teams generate and you try to put them in a structure. In this case, it's a learning structure for people who might join these teams. And in such an agile environment as drug development today, there are constantly new people joining submissions, and some of them have experience in that process and many don't, because it takes a few years until you might be able to be part of a submission in drug development. The second pillar around learning really is basically a competency model that we built targeted towards submissions, and then also a learning program which has mentoring components, team learning components, and blended digital learning components as well. And both of these are supported by an infrastructure that covers, I think, state-of-the-art digital learning, scalability of content. And the other part is really literally the taxonomy of organizing knowledge in a way people find it and also find it useful for reuse. So my job is to connect all these dots to establish what we call a continual learning mindset in the teams who drive this process.
Forgive me for maybe a silly question, but the concept of knowledge cycling brings to mind the possibility of knowledge recycling. Is that totally silly and inappropriate, or is there an element of recycling knowledge in the framework that you've described, and what might that mean?
So fundamentally, I think that we have an extensive body of knowledge generated in organizations. In our case, we have a very large portfolio of submissions that we are currently working on. And teams are working in a very intense pace. They are focused on their deliverables. And if you want to leverage the body of knowledge generated by these teams, you have to find ways to recycle it. That's exactly the point. And recycling happens fundamentally through two things. One is the enabling technology, as I mentioned. So best case, you find a convenient way to capture a practice around, for example, a kickoff meeting that you can make available to all others quickly, conveniently, and simple. And then the second part is actually making this sharing, this recycling of knowledge others generate in the company at a global scale, make it available to the way of working from the beginning on, so that each team, as part of their, if you want, their DNA of working together, they actually recycle the knowledge others have generated because there's a proof of concept that it might be effective.
Making the knowledge more and more useful, or at least having knowledge with a longer shelf life. Fair enough?
Yes, that's a very good point. Okay.
Let's move to two other terms that people are using, artificial intelligence and machine learning. In your view, what is the difference between the two terms? They often seem to be used interchangeably. So how should we think of these two terms?
Well, fortunately, in our industry, I think the experts in artificial intelligence are still evolving. In my understanding, the main distinction is really that artificial intelligence is much broader. Both of the terms are quite old. They have been around for quite a while. However, artificial intelligence is the broad sense of finding ways to mirror the cognitive processes of humans for very effective and efficient problem solving and supporting also decision making of humans. And there seems to be many facets related to algorithms which are generated and the use of data, of course. I think machine learning is actually an application of artificial intelligence. And the basic principle, as I understand it, is that you provide data, or in my case, it is actually tacit knowledge we capture. And this data or knowledge is being used by the machine to start learning over time and give recommendations. I think Amazon is a nice analogy where you see this happen in the consumer space. Over time, the machine learning component really learns to recognize me and starts giving me some recommendations, which sometimes are pretty accurate.
So is the term artificial intelligence, which you mentioned is old, like machine learning is old as a term, is artificial intelligence a passé term at this point, old-fashioned? Should we stop using it? Is there a new term that would more accurately describe the new development in healthcare product enterprise? For example, is advanced analytics a better term to use than either AI or machine learning?
Based on my experience, I do think that a lot of people still try to get their head around artificial intelligence as a term, because it seems like, particularly in our industry, the recruitment strategy so far has been focusing on scientists who bring the specific pharmaceutical knowledge or biological knowledge or scientific knowledge to work in our field. I only slowly see the recruitment and talent acquisition changing and looking for people with data analytics backgrounds and artificial intelligence experience to come into our company in pharmaceutical and biotech companies. That is one of the reasons why I don't think AI as a term is yet passé. Clearly, a lot of people talk about data analytics, and as a matter of fact, also our organization thinks more in terms of generating substantial data and to make it effective and use it in all parts of the drug development process. So there seems to be a shift in even mindset of the organization and how we look at driving our work and particularly also influencing decision-making early on.
At the Basel Euro meeting that we just held in April, I heard a few people stating publicly that at the moment there is no expert in artificial intelligence applications in drug discovery and development because the field is so new and changes so rapidly. Do you agree with that? What is your view?
Really, I can't tell if there are people in the field right now. If there are, I think they might be well hidden. There's a few people I work with. Some have machine learning background. Some are very strong in data analytics, and usually they come from tech companies. So I'm working with a colleague who helped me to find a way to aggregate data in a very simple task I'm dealing with across all teams. He spent 6 years of his career at Google. And maybe just get back to my prior thought. I do think there is right now a perception of the people who have these skills and these capabilities. They're more attracted towards tech companies who are fast-paced, have more creative space actually to use all the skills data analytics people have. And in pharma, I do see a slow shift in actually trying to discover that talent market and find ways to attract the people towards drug development. So it is happening, but I do think it's a slow process, and it has to do with the perception of our industry.
The perception of our industry or the reality of our industry? I think you've just drawn a comparison between high-tech companies and pharma companies. Is there more that you want to say about that? Is there a slower adoption within pharma? And if so, why would that be?
I think it's a very good question. Maybe one thing I recently have observed is that the interns who apply here in drug development, in our case, in our organization, a biotech or pharma, Roche or Genentech, I think all of them take computer science at least as a second topic as part of their studies. And that's revealing. Right. Really, there's this generation that's coming in right now. I think they're much more used to thinking about computer science, thinking about data analytics skills, thinking about IA, just even as a core competency of their abilities. The thing around pharma is that, as a matter of fact, it's a long-term thinking, it's a long-term process, it's highly complex, and I think today is also highly volatile. There are constant changes in stakeholder expectations, in regulations, in certainly consumer expectations as well. And I think in that space, it might be that things do take longer to implement, particularly because of what I hear in the Bay Area in San Francisco, is that tech companies create these smaller islands of problem solvers who have a lot of freedom actually to come up with new ideas and experiment. And I think while many drug development companies understand now that we have to experiment and work in a much more iterative way, it does take maybe a little bit longer to implement that mindset over time, particularly in our industry.
Let's explore a little bit more the role of AI in drug development, if we may. First of all, would it be fair to say that artificial intelligence and machine learning are based on algorithms designed by humans in an attempt to predict every possible situation and decision point, generally speaking? If that's true, and similarly to the concern with driverless cars, is it actually possible to predict every conceivable situation in drug discovery and drug development to enable machine-driven solutions and decisions when one is developing a drug or discovering a new drug platform?
Well, Alberto, if I had the answer, I'd be a rich man. It does seem like artificial intelligence has a level of sophistication where machines can mirror a good part of the thinking of humans, and they're certainly faster, at least in some of the processes they are generating. I will say that one of the fundamental distinctions, I think, between machines and humans is certainly the ability to create novel thinking, which is why I do see a renaissance of critical thinking, analytical skills, strategic thinking, and creative thinking. And this is where I think there's a major distinction between, at least now, artificial intelligence and human intelligence. This ability to create, understand new situations, connect the dots, and find conclusions in a pretty amazing and creative, collaborative way is fundamentally human. Now, is artificial intelligence, will it be able actually to get there at one point in time? I just don't know. I know we can analyze emotions, we can analyze facial recognition, machines become smarter every day. But at the end of the day, the rules are written by humans. It's up to humans, I think, to put boundaries and reflect on the distribution of work as much as they did 100 years ago when the first industrial revolution happened.
Right. A complicated question, obviously, which begs a related question. And I want to ask you about the relationship or the balance between speed of machines and judgment. Mm-hmm. There's no question that intelligent machines can process information fantastically faster than humans. I think we might agree on that. For example, it's been reported that IBM Watson made cancer treatment regimen decisions that were as good as or better than those made by a group of experienced medical oncologists. So the question I have is it simply the speed of the machine that makes the machine able to process vast amounts of information, literature, electronic patient record data quickly? And if so, where does the expert judgment come in? Can the expert judgment ever be replaced in a driverless car or in disease management or other areas? What is the balance between speed and judgment in a machine?
I guess for me, the balance between speed and judgment might be at the interface of human and machine. It is always about the collaboration and how humans can actually leverage machines or technologies to work faster or more efficient, take better decisions, and have actually more reliable information available for any kind of decision or problems they want to solve. So speed is amazing. That's generated by machines. Certainly, you can become more efficient. In our case, one of the things we're trying to do is actually, we're trying to find out through natural language processing, if we have duplications machine could over time generate in an automated way so that processes people work in might actually become much more efficient. Now, the judgment piece, I think, is really where expertise, is generated over many, many years of professional experience. And what I see right now in my work is the ability of experts to articulate what they know is really a very sophisticated task. So we might be able to take some of this expert knowledge and then train machines on it. And yes, indeed, there are fabulous results we can see already today. But the amount of tacit knowledge we generate, experts generate over many generations, and they keep it in their head and cannot necessarily articulate this tacit knowledge in a way that can be used to train machines, is amazing. I do experience every day that people generate practices in their work. They think through very complex situations, but then their ability actually to help to capture that knowledge and make it available to others is not an easy task. So in addition to the machine-human interface, I think our ability to actually identify and capture and make this knowledge available is one of the key components in this.
A doctor could be expected to leverage 30 or 40 years of clinical experience to make a decision about a patient based, if you will, on a gut feeling, maybe above and beyond the data that would be available. Can the machine ever act on a gut feeling, and is that a prudent thing to allow a machine to do?
I guess that's also an ethical question, and certainly requires, it gets back to the topic of trust that we've been addressing, I think, at the DIA. Fundamentally, experts are able to recognize chunks of information much faster, like a chess player. Or even when you drive a car, you look at a situation in traffic, and if you've been driving for 20 years, you can recognize immediately what's going on and anticipate also the decisions you need to take as you are driving. I think a doctor in this case is kind of similar. Their ability to recognize chunks and take the right decisions, sometimes under time pressure, is certainly unique and requires a level of sophistication we have yet to find in machines. That said, there's no doubt that the moment you can actually capture specific information about diseases or treatments and make that available in a structured form to machines, I'm sure that the decision-making power of machines is really amazing.
Getting back to drug development for a moment, can artificial intelligence and machine learning, can these phenomena and tools dramatically accelerate the process of drug development, for example, by harnessing together the processing power of machines, plus genomics, plus proteomics, plus precision medicine? And how soon will we see this become more widespread, or is this even already happening?
As a social scientist, I will not go into genomics and other areas. You're mentioning drug development. However, I think what I can provide is my view on organizations. And I do see pockets of experiments being done, for example, in mobile health, in certainly accessing patient data much earlier on and using that data in a meaningful way as part of trials and the drug development process. There are certainly ways to become much more efficient in our ways of working in drug development, because fundamentally, working with clinical data is always about interpretation and generating a story that's understood by other people, either in health authorities or the stakeholders. So I do think there are ways technology will be able to enable much more efficient ways of doing that, and also reducing the amount of time it takes. There's no doubt about it. I guess the limiting factor is actually probably also our ability, our cognitive ability to filter the right information or data generated and use it in a purposeful way as we are thinking through scenarios in very complex situations, be it in treatment of patients, or beating really in driving the drug development process in a volatile and very dynamic environment.
Finally, Mr. Hall, let me ask you a regulatory question, if I may. The FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb recently announced that FDA will welcome with great interest applications of artificial intelligence in the products that it regulates. So what do you think about where FDA is in relation to industry? Is FDA ahead of industry, behind industry, or fully aligned with industry with respect to AI applications?
I guess my take on this will be I'm not directly interacting with FDA. I do support the people who do interact with the FDA. And I think one of the mission statements we clearly try to follow is that we do enable certainly the maintenance of licenses globally. And at the same time, there are opportunities to influence the way health authorities think about drug development and drug approvals. So I do think artificial intelligence is providing opportunities to have a more even more rigorous and shared understanding and informed decision-making really around drugs and the opportunities to prove them earlier on or accept maybe novel approaches supported by artificial intelligence. Now, I cannot talk about material levels of institutions like the FTA. The one thing I will say is that I did meet a colleague who worked at the FTA in the learning field as well. And what he said is that to a certain degree, internally, they are asking the same questions around data analytics, the use of artificial intelligence, and how to best organize and set up their organization, actually, to respond to this changing environment who's evolving with enormous speed. So it feels like we are in the same boat, and both sides seem to make efforts to create this common understanding of the best use of artificial intelligence for the best of our patients.
And that's where we're going to leave it for today. Mr. Hall, thank you so much for sharing your time, your insights today. So interesting. Much appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Alberto. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to contribute.
For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org. Thank you.